Galatians chapter 5. Now, I have preached a couple of times out of Galatians, and I'm not intentionally working my way through Galatians. There is just a lot in this book, this epistle that Paul has written, and a lot to set straight and a lot to learn. And tonight we're going to look, are you serving others? And I'm not intentionally following a series. I've looked back on my notes right before we got up here. I had preached on, are you pleasing God? I like to title a lot of my messages with questions. I believe questions trigger the mind to think, and that's what we want to do, and think along the lens of the Word of God. What would God have us do? Encourage you and exhort you. And the other one we worked on and taught on was, are you willing to obey? And tonight is going to be, are you serving others? And we'll look at that. Galatians chapter 5, if you found your place. Galatians chapter 5. Notice with me in verse 13, we'll pray and then we'll get into our points quickly and move through this for this evening. Galatians 5 in verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for this time and thank you for watching over us today, being with us, and we want to ask that you would be with the hearts of those that have come out. Father, be with the preparation, be with this message, be with me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, be with those that are here, those that are watching, and I pray that you would benefit and give a blessing, encourage and instruct and teach every one of us tonight from your word. Now go with it as it goes into our ears, into our hearts, and our minds, and be with us. Keep us strengthened and fortified. And we ask that you would give us the courage to be willing to serve others. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this verse, and for the sake of time, we'll walk our way through some of these verses and a few other places. I want to eventually here in a minute turn to John chapter 13 is where I'm going to have you go in a minute. But in Galatians chapter 5, here the Christian is to continue by faith, not by works. And we kind of laid some of that out Sunday morning, and I'm not trying to continue off of that message Sunday morning. It was primarily a salvation message dealing with works and salvation, or grace, works and grace. But tonight, looking at moving further after being saved and dealing in our context tonight would be those that are saved. The question should be put to us, are you serving others? And we want to look at an example. I believe Christ is an example. Before we get to John, though, I want to share with you in Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians. Now, I said John, and I thought I'd be brave enough to quote this, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 speaks of works, and we're created unto good works. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's in the context of being saved, and verse 8 and 9 clarify that you're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of works. But then he goes on to explain, not contradicting himself. He wants you to understand that you don't obtain your salvation or the righteousness from God by doing something. But he also saying that in one breath, the next breath in verse 10, he states, for after that salvation, after we've obtained grace through faith, that salvation from God, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. There's something that is created in us, and some people it happens quicker than others. We talk about that, we preach about that, and a lot of times, let me park right here just for a second. I've been asked, probably of the other preachers have or other teachers, why do you guys teach at or preach at this level? You know, you might sometimes will preach or teach over somebody's head, you know, or preach above the people. Why don't you bring it down? And my response to that is what I was taught, is if you bring the preaching and teaching down to the people's level, they'll never grow. And so you want to be right above their heads or hit them sometimes with the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit's job is to do that. We're to put out what God lays on our heart. And I don't think and look at things and think, oh, that would be great. I think that it's great for that person, or I think that's great. The person I'm looking at is myself. God, what would you have me to learn? What is lacking in my life as a Christian? Because I know if I nail this, I know I'll pretty much nail about 90% of sitting in the pew. And so we want to put it out at a level above, we want to come up to the Word of God. We don't want to bring it down and soften it up. So here, he's saying, look in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so Ephesians says, I like what Titus says. Now watch what Titus, he puts a little bit more on it. If you look at Titus chapter 3, and here he's telling us to be careful that we maintain good works. And so this is not something that you do once a week and then it's over, or you do once a year or something like that. He says you want to maintain. It's like a maintenance program. You don't change the oil one time in your vehicle. You change it every 3,000 miles or whatever is recommended by the manufacturer, whatever you're driving. But here in Titus chapter 3, notice with me in verse 8, if you've turned with me, it says, this is a faithful saying, in these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Why do we continue? You say, man, I think it seems like I've heard this before. Maybe you put it a little bit different, but wasn't we just teaching about this, or hadn't you just preached on this? I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God, and you have, if you're saved tonight, might be careful. Remember, the Bible tells us in one place, be careful for nothing. So be careful of our context. Here, the context is we want to be careful as good Christians to maintain, it says, good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so this is after salvation, and I want to deal with that tonight. I am reminded of the Great Commission, and it indicates that Christians are to serve. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20 tells us to teach all nation. It tells us to baptize and to teach those who have trusted Christ. All three of these actions are ways of serving others. And so by way of introduction, let's look at John chapter 13. Turn with me to John chapter 13. And I would like verses, we won't have time to read 1 through 17, but we'll pick up just verses 13 through and 17. Here, Christ illustrates humility through foot washing. This is the area or the portion of Scripture in John, the Gospel of John, where he washes the apostles or disciples' feet. And remember, Peter, he gets to Peter, and Peter says, I don't want you to wash me at all. And he says, well, and Christ tells him, if you don't let me wash you, then you're none of mine. Then he says, wash me all over. And he said, look, you don't have need to wash all over, just your feet. And so a fine example here. But notice with me in verse 13, we'll pick it up. For the sake of our time, we'll catch up. It says in verse 13, ye call me master, and this is Christ speaking, and Lord, and ye say, well, for as I am. So he did not deny that. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So a lot of times we say that we know them, but it's another thing to have the joy or the happiness to actually execute that action. And I want to say, first of all, acknowledging Christ's example of a servant. He is our example, or if you please, our example of what we should be like as Christians. Here in this portion, I won't get too far into the weeds, but he's teaching servant leadership. And that is how the leadership should be in a spiritual setting or in a church setting, is a servant leadership. Say, well, I want to be the boss. I want to run stuff. Then you'll probably be the servant. You're the one that's going to do the most, servant-wise. That's actually what Christ is teaching here. He said, if you want to be great, then you're going to be the one that's going to do everything. And Christ humbled himself, and he washed their feet. And so they finally got the picture and realized it. And from time to time, you and I get the picture, and we see that we're to serve one another, because that's what Christ set the example for here in John chapter 13. But notice, as we move forward, I would like to turn to Mark. So now we're in John. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. We'll look at another example. And this one is going to deal, I want Mark chapter 10 in verse 42 through 45. Okay, dealing with a section of suffering here. He's got some suffering And we've got quite a bit going on here in Mark in the Gospels. There's always a lot going on. You can apply different ways. But we're picking up a spiritual application of serving others. And so first of all, we've said acknowledging Christ's example of a servant. Secondly, I want to say accepting the fact that Jesus wants you and I to be a servant. And so we see this in Mark chapter 10, and verse 42. And he says, "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them." Now, he was teaching them a lesson about the Gentiles that the Jews did know. The Gentiles were great for. They liked to lord over their people, and they had set this up. We see it today, kind of like a Roman type situation. You have this boss, you have that assistant administrator, administrator, chief administrator, it goes on and on and on and on. We like that as Gentiles, but here's what Christ was saying. He says these Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Remember, this should ring a bell to the Bible student. What's another area that Christ warns a pastor, an over-shepherd, not to lord over the flock? And so you want to be careful with that. You want to go back over where we were just at in John, where he teaches that servant leadership. And so you want to be careful. He said, not taking it with restraint, not being a lord, lording over the people. You say, what is that? That means enacting rules that he himself doesn't have to adhere to, or trying to control something that he has no business doing. And so it can go many different ways. But here he says that the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Wow. And so we see as we read on, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be a servant of all, for even the Son of Man came to be ministered unto. He did not come to be ministered, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So here we see that this Christ is setting forth, he is teaching them a second time, that it's important that we learn that we need to be servants. And there, for a lot of people, that's kind of hard. They're used to being in a boss or type of leadership role. And a lot of times they think, well, I don't have to do this. I'm above that. I'm above this. I'm above that. Well, in the ministry, according to Scripture, it's the opposite. Yeah, if you want to have a position, then you're going to be the servant. You're going to be a servant. Here, the pastors are not. It's a pal of the pal. I'll ask the pastor. Pastor's the servant. The pastor puts out the food, he prays, and he's given to the word of God in prayer, according to Acts chapter 6. And so he's a servant to serve the people of God in their needs. And so we're seeing that all of us, not only the pastors, but all of us should serve one another. And so we're accepting the fact that Jesus wants you and I to be a servant here. And the most important thing is the greatest Christian of all is to be servant of all. In verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And so it's very important. In verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, and that he did. He was the example, if you please. But that's not the only thing here. I believe Philippians has a lot to say, and let's turn over to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Thirdly, I want to say attaining the attitude of a servant. You ever worked around or have been around somebody who has a kind of like a false humility about them? And if you put them in a corner or in a certain situation, maybe with a little pressure, not intentionally, but it just happens from time to time, the real them comes out. We all have a real them. Every one of us does. I'm not trying to say, well, if you act a little funny when you're under pressure, there's something wrong with you. All of us do. It's one of those things, you push somebody in a corner and pester them. They're going to come out. They might come out swinging, crying, biting, kicking. You don't know. There's another side of you. Here in this, a false humility for somebody who's a servant, you'll sometimes have the opportunity of working around somebody like that. And you'll notice it's only that way when they're around other people or certain things or certain situations. Other than that, they're not really a servant. That's not what God is teaching here. We're to be a servant always, all the time, the whole time, whether it's hard or rocky, whether the road is rough, bumpy, we're to be a servant and maintain that attitude. You say, that's hard to do. Yeah, I know. It's very hard to do. It's very hard. But the attaining the attitude of a servant, Philippians chapter 2, notice what he says here to us. Read verses 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, in verse 2 he says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He's really going to get into this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There's your parameters. That's kind of like the white lines on the road. There's your two sides. All right? So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's the vainglory is kind of what I was describing about a false humility. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. That's a big thing today. Look, stay out of my bubble. Stay out of my little circle. I'll pick up the phone when I want to, text when I want to. Other than that, you know, I'll see you at church, and then we'll see you at church the next time. Other than that, that's not how it goes. That's not what he's describing here. It's a family, and we're to serve one another. And it says, look not every man on his own things. That's not just in church setting. That's your life. But every man also on the things of others. That's not busybody, and that's helping. That's in the attitude or the context of being a servant. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, underline that verse right there, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying you and I need to learn and realize we need to attain the attitude of a servant because Christ did. And he would not put this in here or write it this way without knowing we would have the ability to do this and be in servant one of another. So tonight our question is put to us, are you serving others? In verses 1 and 4, the attitude of a servant is manifested. If you read back what we just read, 1 through 4 is manifestation of the attitude. And the second one, verses 5 through 8, what we just read, the example of this servant attitude is found in Christ. So his illustration in this context was, what did Christ do when he became and was born of a virgin and come to live among us? He humbled himself as a man, and he was fashioned, and he became a servant, even unto death. The cross. So we're seeing, thirdly, attaining the attitude of a servant. I got plenty of time. I already got to my last one. Well, let's go back to Galatians, and we'll look at Galatians chapter 5 now. And we had read one verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and we'll read on a little bit more. Verse 13 and 14 again. Galatians chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. I have heard this verse spun. I've heard this verse bounced. I've seen this verse bounced. I've seen this verse stuff read into this verse. I have seen people read out of this verse, extract out of this verse, all claiming to be Bible believers. You say, what is going on here? The liberty here is only in that parameter of context of being of one mind, one unity in Christ. It's never, ever put in the context, taken out, put in the context of our flesh. Well, I have the liberty to do this and do that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And that has parameters. And that parameter is the weakest conscience among us. We'll have a brother or a sister that might have a weak conscience, might deal with something in the flesh, and we're not to put a stumbling block in front of them, cause them to sin. That's that liberty. This liberty here is the liberty for you and I to have full liberty to serve one another. God lays something on your heart. God begins to prick your mind and conscience. Maybe while you're praying or thinking of somebody's need, guess what? The Holy Spirit is wooing you. He's not going to beat you over the head. He's going to put in your heart a kindness, a humility here, that there's something that needs to take place with that brother or sister that God's laid on your heart. That's the context of this liberty. A lot of times we'll draw that parameter or that line. Well, don't call me. Don't go over here. Don't go see that person because of this or that. Where's that? That's the liberty. Erase all those lines. You have full liberty to serve one another in a good way now, in a good way. Remember our parameters. And so we see, let's move verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Notice the writer, the Apostle Paul, he'll use the law, and he's explaining to them how this works. He said, so for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. And I know we talk about our neighbors, and I would be the first one in the line to say I'm not the best. I like to be left alone. I'm that type of person. I would probably be under the guise of an introvert. That line, that would be me. I'm not an outgoing person by nature, and I'm not proud of it. That's who I really am. And so when God called me to preach, that was a scary moment, you might say. It's like I don't have no gut feeling at all to want to do this. Here I am. But our neighbors, back to our neighbors, looking at our neighbors, well, you don't know this neighbor. This neighbor here, and then you got a story that goes with a neighbor. And I guarantee if you took 30 minutes, listened to that story, and you walked over, knocked on the door, and you talked to him, he would have a story about the person you just talked to. So that's how that goes. You say, well, who is my neighbor? I think I just mentioned or answered this a couple weeks ago. That's anybody you come in contact with. That's your neighbor. That's who we should be willing to present the gospel and have a testimony that uplifted the gospel that we're proclaiming. That's where it should be. So lastly, you say, what are you saying here? Our last one, fourthly, is acting as a servant of Christ. We can obtain the attitude. We can attain the facts that Jesus was an example. We can look at that. We can see that. We can even have the knowledge of knowing what a servant should be or shouldn't be. But the last one really brings everything home and answers the question, are you serving others, is an acting as a servant of Christ. In Galatians 5:13 through 14, he's laying this out. To act as a servant of Christ is to serve others in love. So this servant, this servant type attitude, servant type acting is always in the context of charity, love in action. And so the two biblical examples of serving others in love, and I think we have time to put these in. We were in Philippians. I'll ask you to go back to Philippians. Let me make sure I turn the right way. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Notice with me verses 14 through 16. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. What is the context? Well, this church had ministered monetarily to the Apostle Paul. Watch verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Here, this church was an example. This is a biblical example here in Philippians that this church, collectively, the church, minister to Paul's needs and necessity. And he said, no church did but this one at that time. And so we have that example. Now watch, move with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at another individual, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want verses 16. He brings up a man here. And I'm saying it's a man here. He says, verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now watch verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. This man had a reputation, not only a reputation, but a testimony of ministering to the Apostle Paul in the house. He mentions his house of Onesiphorus. And so here we see a individual's testimony to minister as a servant one to another. Tonight, the question is still there and put to you and put to myself, are you and I, are we serving one another? You say, well, we've just had a pandemic. We've just getting our back up on our feet. We've got a lot of stuff going on. It's spring's coming up, summer's coming up. And it's a great opportunity to be willing and able to serve one another in the right heart, in right context. Let's all stand tonight. I think we're going to end there. Just a little encouragement from the Word of God in Galatians. Galatians is packed. There's a lot going on there. Remember, they were bewitched. They had moved from the gospel that had been preached unto them from the Apostle Paul, and so into another gospel, he said. But here he lays some of this out as far as being a servant and willing not only to have the knowledge, not only the knowledge, but accepting the fact that there was an example of Christ before him, and then having the right attitude, but being willing to act out being a servant, serving one another. Tonight, ask yourself in your heart, in your mind, am I serving others? And can I do more? Can I serve more? That's what God wants. Not us, but God. God wants that. Pastor.